الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment. Continuing with the tafsir of Shaykh Abdurrahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di rahmatullahi alayhi, Surah Al-Baqarah verse 248. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. It mentions here, one moment. نعم وقال لهم نبيهم إن آية ملكه أن يأتيكم التابوت فيه سكينة من ربكم وبقية مما ترك آل موسى وآل هارون تحمله الملائكة إن في ذلك لآية لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين. Does anyone have the English? Or only me? And their prophet, which is Samuel, peace be upon him, said to them, verily, the sign of his kingdom is that there shall come to you a tabut, which is a wooden box, wherein is sakina, peace and reassurance, from your Lord, and a remnant of that which Musa and Harun left behind, carried by the angels. Verily, and this is a sign for you if you are indeed believers. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله وكان هذا التابوت قد استولت عليه الأعداء فلم يكتفوا بالصفات المعنوية في طالوت ولا بتعيين الله له على لسان نبيهم حتى يؤيد ذلك هذه المعجزة. Now this taboot or this wooden box, usually called a coffin, had been overtaken by the enemies, right? And if you missed the previous ayat, then I'm sorry, I cannot go back and go over them, but you know, inshallah you'll pick it up from the previous audio lectures or audio recordings. And it was not sufficient for them, that is the Jews here, the children of Israel, to refer to the intangible attributes that are found in Talut, you know, him, the abstract ones, the fact that he was brave and Allah given him knowledge and so on and so forth. Nor was it sufficient for them that Allah had decreed that their prophet, you know, define to them exactly who the person is. So A, he was given particular qualities which were not sufficient for them. B, their prophet told him, Samuel, Allah has chosen Talut as a leader for you, and that was not enough for the children of Israel. They wanted, along with that, a miracle. A miracle that comes along so that they will accept what Allah had already required of them to accept. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Consequently, he said to them, verily in that is a sign for you if you do believe. I mean, if you believe, then this will be sufficient for you. If you don't believe, then nothing will be sufficient for you. فَحِينَ إِذٍ سَلَّمُوا وَانْقَادُوا. Then only they submitted and they followed. فَلَمَّا تَرَأَسَ بِهِمْ طَالُوتُ وَجُنْدُهُمْ وَرَتَّبَهُمْ وَجَنَّدَهُمْ وَرَتَّبَهُمْ وَفَصَّلَ بِهِمْ إِلَى قِتَالِ عَدُوِّهِمْ وكان قد رأى منهم من ضعف العزائم والهمم ما يحتاج إلى تمييز الصابر من الناكل. Now, Talut, when he saw them, when he became the leader, and he started organizing his soldiers, right? And he's trying to divide them and see, you know, where they stand. He saw of them weakness, laziness. Lack of courage, you know, they lack the qualities that are essential for you to engage in warfare with the enemy. So it became necessary that he makes a distinction between those who are patient and those who are not. Not everyone can go to the war, because if you take with you those who are not qualified, the damages they will cause may be more harmful than them remaining behind. And consequently, you see that in the context of the Muslims engaging in war with the non-Muslims, Allah did not allow the hypocrites to join. Because them going there is only going to make it worse. Oh, the enemies are too many. Oh, I think they have more weaponry. So they will start casting doubt in the hearts of the Muslims and making them feel that they are inferior. So then it is better for the hypocrites to remain at home. Because them going, even though there are more numbers, more people, but the quality, as they say, quality versus quantity. We don't need this kind of individual. Similarly, they were on the same manhaj back then. Who's good, who's not? The one who's not good, khali wali, as they say. So then here's what happened. إن الله مبتليكم بنا. This is نعم. فلما فصل طالوت بالجنود قال إن الله مبتليكم بنهر فمن شرب منه فليس مني ومن لم يطعمه فإنه مني إلا من اغترف غرفة بيده فشربوا منه إلا قليلا منهم فلما جاوزه هو والذين آمنوا معه قالوا لا طاقة لنا اليوم بجالوت وجنوده قال الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقوا الله كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقوا الله كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله والله مع الصابرين. Then one Talut, which is called Saul, and this is different than the Saul of Paul, because Paul, the founder of Christianity or modern day Christianity, this, you know, the Trinity and the life, his actual name was Saul, and then he became Paul after he supposedly reverted or converted from Judaism to Christianity. Of course, he came in and he destroyed Christianity altogether. But this Saul is not that Saul, because the other one is a wicked person. Then when Saul set out with the army, he said, "Verily, Allah will try you by a river. So whoever drinks thereof, he is not of me. And whoever tastes it not, he is of me. Except him who takes thereof in the hollow of his hand." One. "Yet they drank thereof all except a few of them." Most of them drank from the river. "So when he had crossed it," the river, "he and those who believed with him, they said, 'We have no power this day against Goliath,'" which is Jalut, "and his hosts. But those who knew with certainty that they were to meet their Lord said, 'How often a small group overcame a mighty host by Allah's leave. And Allah is with the sabirun,'" or with the patient. So now the Shaykh will give us a bunch of benefits, inshaAllah ta'ala. But before that, so then they will be tested with the river. Allah shall test you with the river. تَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهِ وَقْتَ حَاجَةٍ إِلَى الْمَاءِ. You shall pass by this river at a time where you will be in need of water. فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever drinks thereof is not of me. أَيْلَا يَتَّبِعَنِي, meaning he shall not follow me. He's not of me, meaning do not come with me. لِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ بُرْهَانٌ عَلَى قِلَّةِ صَبْرِهِ وَوُفُورِ جَزْعِهِ. Because this is indicative of his, alaykum salam, in his deficiency, in his patience deficiency, and the fact that he's among those who will quickly panic. Right? He's among those who will quickly panic. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطْعَمُهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي بِصُدْقِهِ وَصَبْرِهِ. And whoever does not taste it, then he is of me, because of his patience and his truthfulness. إِلَّا مَنْ اَغْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً بِيَدِهِ أَيْ فَإِنَّهُ مُسَامَحٌ فِيهَا. So this was a concession given for whoever only takes some, one, whatever you like to call it, one complete hand, you know, filled with water, right? The hollow of the hand filled with water, that's it. That, you know, don't fill up a bottle or put your mouth in from the river and drink, because usually this is how someone will drink from the river. They will put their hands and maybe they will drink, you know, straight from their hands, from the water. So he said, only one, you may pick up one, nothing more than, this is the concession they were given. فَلَمَّا وَصَلُوا إِلَى ذَلِكَ النَّهَرِ وَكَانُوا مُحْتَاجِينَ إِلَى الْمَاءِ شَرِبُوا كُلُّهُمْ مِنْهُ. So when they made it to the river, and they all needed the water, all of them drank. Huh? All of them drank, إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, except a few. So those who drank are more or less than those who didn't drink? Those who drank, are they more or less than those who didn't drink? So they're more. More black. The thawb, I mean. Just in case Satan whispered something to you. فَإِنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا وَلَمْ يَشْرِبُوا. Those, they were patient and they did not drink. They were patient and they did not drink. فلما جاوزه هو والذين آمنوا معه قالوا أي الناكلون أو الذين عبروا لا طاقة لنا اليوم بجالوت وجنوده فإن كان القائلون هم الناكلين فهذا قول يبررون به نكولهم وإن كان القائلون هم الذين عبروا مع طالوت فإن حصل منهم نوع استضعاف لأنفسهم. Now this is important. So after they passed it, him and though they crossed the river, him and those who believed to them, it was said. Now it's questionable who made this particular statement. They said, we have no power today over Jalut, Goliath and his soldiers. It could have been said by those who crossed the river with him, okay, but they were in a state of weakness. There was some weakness that had overtaken them, and it could have been those who did not cross. And that's an excuse for them, that the reason why we didn't, because we don't have any power to go to overcome them anyways. So the Shaykh said it could be both. If it was those who had no patience and drank from the river earlier, then this is only justifying their action. Well, you know, these people are too strong, they have no power over them, who cares, I might as well drink, right? And if it is those who had said this, the same ones who had crossed the actual river with Talut, then this is an indication that they had some sort of weakness. There was a little weakness that of course, let's say they had 10,000 and all of a sudden they became 2,000. So it is natural that they would say, now we have no power over these people, because earlier we had larger numbers, now we are lesser in numbers, of course, because so many people didn't make it in terms of crossing the river, because they didn't have enough patience when they were asked not to drink from the river. So this seems to make sense as well. وَلَكِنْ شَجَّعُمْ عَلَى الثَّبَاتِ وَالْإِقْدَامِ أَهْلُ الْإِيمَانِ الْكَامِلِ. Now those who made that statement among those who crossed but were somewhat weak, they were given, they were strengthened to move on and continue by the people of knowledge and the people of strong iman, the people of certainty, who told them, how often has a small number defeated a greater one by the permission of Allah? And verily Allah is with the patient. Allah is with the patient in terms of aiding them, supporting them, granting them victory. So then these people, they were firm, they were patient to fight their enemy Jalut, Goliath and his soldiers. Verse 251, it says here, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. نعم. ولما برزوا لجالوت وجنوده قالوا ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين فهزموهم بإذن الله وقتل داود جالوت وآتاه الله الملك والحكمة وعلمه مما يشاء ولولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لفسدت الأرض ولكن الله ذو فضل على العالمين. Are you think the Sheikh, did he miss that one? Yeah. Subhanallah. The Sheikh rahimahullah actually missed out the tafsir of ayah 250. Right? He went straight to 251. He included 250 and 251, but he didn't mention what happened. But let me just give you the rough translation, so we will know what's going on here. Then when Talut, no, this one we did already. Excuse me. Hey. And when they advanced to meet Goliath and his forces, they invoked, our Lord, pour forth on us patience and set firm our feet and make us victorious over the disbelieving people. So the Shaykh mentioned that briefly, that Allah gave him victory. But this was a dua that they made, that Allah Azza wa Jalla keep him firm. Now verse 251, which is the one I just read, so they routed them by Allah's leave. And Dawood killed Goliath. David killed Goliath. And Allah gave him, Dawood that is, David, the kingdom after the death of Saul and Samuel. And Al-Hikmah, prophethood, and taught him of that which he willed. And if Allah did not check one set of people by means of another, the earth would indeed be full of mischief. But Allah is full of bounty to the Alameen, which is mankind, jinn, and all that, and all which exists. Now. So then the Shaykh says here, And so David عليه الصلاة والسلام killed Goliath. وحصل بذلك الفتح والنصر على عدوهم. And consequently this brought about victory and the conquest by the will of Allah over their enemies. And Allah had given Dawood the kingdom and the wisdom. النبوة, which is prophethood, والعلوم النافعة, and beneficial knowledge. وآتاه الله الحكمة وفصل الخطاب. And Allah gave him wisdom and eloquence in speech. ثم بين تعالى, or it could be also interpreted as the ability to judge between contending people. ثم بين تعالى فائدة الجهاد. Then Allah عز وجل explained the benefits of jihad. Something that many Muslims today, due to their weakness or cowardness or whatever you like to call it, they deny clear teachings in the Quran, in the Sunnah concerning jihad. And when we speak of jihad in this context, because jihad could mean struggling, period. You struggle against yourself and your shaitan, and even Allah, when mentioned the parents, He said, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِهِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. If your parents do jihad against you so that you worship others with me, those who you have no knowledge of, then do not obey them. The term used was jahadak for the duo, jihad. But in particular, when we speak of jihad in general terms, it means, or in specific terms, it means fighting in the cause of Allah. Also, another synonymous term is qital or harb. Harb is war, qital is fighting, armed. You know, there's a weaponry involved, whether it's swords or bows and arrows or whatever. Point being, many Muslims deny, and there should be no reason why we deny. We shouldn't be afraid of anyone. The Prophet ﷺ would offer people Islam, and if they did not want Islam, then there were other alternatives that the Muslims had. It's just like that. So the concept of the sword being involved in the spread of Islam is a correct concept, even though among the misconceptions usually said that Islam was spread by the sword. It wasn't spread by the sword because Allah decreed that the people did not want to deal with the Muslims. However, the sword was an option. The Prophet ﷺ, based on authentic narrations, when he would send his expeditions, he would say, invite them to Islam. Aslim, taslam. Embrace Islam, you will be saved. If they refused to enter into Islam, then they pay you taxes, jizya, a tax that they pay so they may be under the rulership of Islam. But the beautiful thing about it is that their rights are guaranteed, their religious freedom is guaranteed, they are allowed to keep their religion, their churches, and everything that they're doing, and they are protected by the Muslims themselves. They just pay taxes and be quiet if they don't want to embrace the religion of truth. Because the idea is, it is not really optional. It is optional in terms of you cannot force Islam on someone, but a person between him and his Lord, it is not optional for him to embrace the religion, because Allah does not love disbelief. Allah wants people to believe in terms of His irada al-shar'iyya, His legal intent. But His universal intent is that He allowed the people to believe or disbelieve. So it's not really optional. Well, I mean, I could remain a gay disbeliever and say, you know, yes and no. Because you're a disease, and we want well-being for the earth and the inhabitants of the earth. So if they refused to pay the jizya, then there was what? There was what? There was fighting, man. Brothers were fighting. If they go for peace, no problem. If they surrender, we will stop. If one said la ilaha illallah and the sword was over his head, and even if he's lying, you know he's lying, he's only trying to save his life, you don't touch him anymore. Because of the sacredness of the statement of la ilaha illallah, even if he's a liar. And so, in the process, no women were killed, no trees were burnt, no children were killed, no houses were destroyed. The finest of guidelines in terms of treating the enemy are held and practiced by Islam. No other civilization, no other culture or whatever religion ever maintained these etiquettes. The Crusaders, when they went into the Muslim countries, they slaughtered everyone. And they force people to embrace Christianity, which is something that we would never do. We give you the option. If you don't want it, we're not going to fight you to become a Muslim. We're going to fight you to get out of the way, so other people will get the message of Islam. You follow me? These things we need to have firm belief in. We don't compromise our religion, and we come and lie so we can give da'wah. Lying, giving da'wah by lying is a failure. Allah will not bring any success. And I told you many times before, the vast majority, illa man rahim Allah, those who are representing Islam on the news, on the TV, are liars in this area. They lie against the truth of jihad. And they say that we only have defensive jihad. No, we have defensive jihad and offensive jihad. This is something that is part of the deen. You have a problem, then you have a problem with your creator. You don't have a problem with me. I'm not going to change the religion, modify it for you to be happy. If you don't like the teachings of Islam, then you can tell Allah on the Day of Judgment, wallah, I wasn't happy with what you had revealed. Since you're so intelligent, mashallah, you know better than Allah what is good for the creation. That's what it is. That's what it is. As if someone's like, okay, God, I don't know why you made us, you know, fight for your cause. What is this, you know, teaching? People love peace and tranquility, and you're telling us to fight against the enemy? Well, look at what the enemy is doing to you. Right now, as we speak, what are they doing? Buying us Pampers? Huh? Taking care of us? They're killing us as we speak. Gangsters don't have a problem. Gang banging, shooting someone for a bag of weed. Killing is a piece of cake for these people. So what's your problem? If someone is killing someone over $5 or $10 or 20 riyals, then someone fighting for the sake of Allah to make the religion of Allah the most supreme, you have a problem with that? Then you have a problem with your understanding of Islam and beyond that. So don't be, you know, afraid, and don't twist things around. Say them as they are. Because if you were to lie, and this new Muslim who becomes a Muslim through your da'wah reads the Quran and he comes across these verses, he will leave Islam. He will leave Islam. Because he will say, hold on, man. They told me that this doesn't exist. But Allah says in the Quran, kill them wherever you find them, in some context. How is he going to understand that if we have been lying to them? And I've had this happen. I've seen this happen. So, like I said, keep it real. Your job is to what? Convey the message in the best way possible. Guidance is from Allah. The same way people have a problem, believe it or not, the same way people have a problem with warfare, people have a problem with believing in the oneness of Allah. You know, it's the same thing. To them it's like, whoa, it's abhorrent that you want me to worship one God and that Jesus is not a God. To them this is just as bad. So the problem is not with what you're conveying, the problem is with their wickedness. If they're wicked enough not to accept Tawheed, then don't expect them to be liking anything else. If Tawheed is not compatible with them, then how is the multiple marriage or the woman wearing hijab or anything else, how would that be compatible? It's impossible. Because these people are just bad. They can't accept what Allah had revealed unto them. So I hope I made myself clear here, and I didn't burn you out or give you a hard time, even though I try to give you a hard time as often as possible. So basically, now Allah tells us the objective behind jihad. What are some of the benefits that we have? So we will know as well. يعني الله had said, لولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لفسدت الأرض باستيلاء الكفرة والفجار وأهل الشر والفساد. Had not Allah decreed that people wind up fighting against one another, right, in this fashion, then verily the earth would have become corrupt. The reason why, because the people of disbelief and the wicked will overtake the earth. Right now, had the Muslims been the dominant power on earth, right, if we ruled this earth, do you think we will be having as many problems today? No. Because we are not in power, who's handling business? Others. These others, are they kind to humans? Do they care for them? No. They kill people like they're insects. For you to drop a bomb, Hiroshima, for you to drop a bomb and just eradicate a whole, I don't know, country with the inhabitants is ruthless. People have no
sense of, even if they come on TV and, you know, they bluff the people and we're sending $2 million, which you know is like money that they print to this country as a humanitarian aid for the earthquake that has, you know, afflicted such and such place. This is all Hollywood. You know, these same people that put out Jurassic Park, they are the same people who lie and put up movies on the CNN and on Fox News and BBC. It's the same group of people, same media, ran by the Jews, and everything is put out to the people in a modified fashion. They give the people whatever they want to feed them, brainwashing them and poisoning their understanding. So these people, because they are in control, look at the corruption we have on earth. Everywhere you go, there's conflict. There are wars. In every country almost, there are inner wars between the people of the same country or neighboring countries. Had Islam been in charge, we don't have this nonsense. It's either engaging in war for the sake of Allah or we're just relaxing. And people are worshipping Allah. There will be so many masajid around earth where people are worshipping Allah. But when we're not doing that, when we have been set aside, look who's running the world. The most wicked of people. You know, the American, the former Americans, those who put up the whole country, those who wrote the Constitution in the earlier times, right? When they freed themselves of Britain. You know what was part of the actual law? So the law in which the country was built upon? That the black man was equal to 3/5 of a white man. These are the most enlightened minds, as one of the du'as said during that time. These were supposed to be the most intellectual people who came together and put up the United States of America. Part of their law is that the black man is equal to 3/5 of a white man. Crazy stuff, man. That's what they had. These are the people. Democracy. You know, secular democracy. Everyone gets their right. It's all bluffing, all lies. What democracy? Is this democracy? Is this democracy? This is lies. So we really have to be careful of what's going on. There's a lot of plans and plots against Islam and Muslims. And we need to, you know, stand up for the occasion. Least to say is that we need to acquire knowledge. We need to prepare ourselves in terms of knowledge so that our descendants, our children, will be brought up on this understanding of the deen, so much so that when it becomes a common quality among the Muslims, then obviously inshallah what comes after will be the victory and the aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we need to make that move. Walaikum salam. We need to make that move. We can't be lazy anymore. It's not, you know, we don't, you know, leave alone this TV set. Leave alone this television set and all this time we waste on nothing. You know, let's use this time for something beneficial. Spend our time with our children as well. Not every day they have to go to the park, you know, and go on roller coasters and so on and so forth. They should have some time to learn the deen of Allah. From a young age, invest into the children. I mean, this is something that is upon each one of us. Otherwise, we will be in the same predicament that we have been in for the longest time, and we cannot afford to do this anymore. Somebody has to, you know, revive Islam. And if we don't do it, then who's going to do it? If the people who are involved in da'wah, the people who love the deen, don't do it, who's going to do it? The ones who are at the mall shopping every day? Obviously not. So it is those who have concern for Islam that are expected to handle business. طيب. حيث ولكن الله ذو فضل على العالمين حيث لطف بالمؤمنين ودافع عنهم وعن دينهم بما شرعه وبما قدره. But Allah was kind to the believers due to the fact that He defended them and their religion by legislating jihad. Defending us, your wife, your mother, your sister, your daughter are defended through jihad. If the enemies were to come and invade us, and we were to use the supposedly Christian taught way of life, which is what? Give him the other cheek. Then I want to see which man, you know, the enemy is going to come and rape his daughter, say, hold on, my sister's in the other room. That's what giving him the other cheek means. That's what it means. If they slap you on one cheek, give him the other one. So give him more. Would you like to move into my house? How about I just go out and you just live over here? What else do you want? You want more money? No. What do you do? You fight, you defend yourself. So, you know, jihad, this is defensive jihad. And Allah legislated that for us so we may protect ourselves and our religion. That no one will be able to mess with us. فَلَمَّا بَيَّنَ هَذِهِ الْقِصَّةِ قَالَ لِرَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ تِلْكَ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ نَتْرُوهَا عَلَيْكَ بِالْحَقُّ وَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ الله أكبر. These are the ayat of Allah. Ayat could be signs, proofs, evidences, verses, depending on the context. These are the signs, proofs, evidences of Allah which we recite unto you in truth. وَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ This is overemphasized in the Arabic language, right? Because it could have been said, إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَإِنَّكَ This is for emphasis. لَا The لَا is for emphasis. مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ يعني it's confirmation upon confirmation that verily the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is among the messengers of Allah. وَمِنْ جُمْلَةِ الْأَدِلَّ عَلَى رِسَالَةِ هَذِهِ الْقِصَّةِ حَيْثُ أَخْبَرَ بِهَا وَحْيًا مِنَ اللَّهِ مُطَابِقًا لِلْوَاقِعِ Among the evidences about the truthfulness of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's prophethood is this particular story. Since it was a revelation from Allah which is totally harmonious with the facts, with the historical facts. وَفِي هَذِهِ الْقِصَّةِ عِبَرٌ كَثِيرَةٌ لِلْأُمَّةِ The Shaykh said, and in this story there are many benefits for the Ummah, us, the Muslims. مِنْهَا Among them, فَضِيلَةُ الْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِهِ وَفَوَائِدِهِ وَثَمَرَاتِهِ عَفْوًا وَفَوَائِدُهُ وَثَمَرَاتُهُ The virtue of jihad in the cause of Allah. The benefits and the fruits thereof. وَأَنَّهُ السَّبَبُ الْوَحِيدِ فِي حِفْضِ الدِّينِ وَحِفْضِ الْأَوْطَانِ وَحِفْضِ الْأَبْدَانِ وَالْأَمْوَالِ And that it is the primary reason behind the preservation of the religion, the preservation of the country which you live in, and the preservation of the bodies and the wealth through jihad. وَأَنَّ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ وَلَوْ شَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ عَوَاقِبَهُمْ حَمِيدًا That the mujahideen, even though they may endure some difficulty, the ultimate end is for them. And so those who fight in the cause of Allah, even if the situation was difficult for them initially, the good end is ultimately theirs. كَمَا أَنَّ النَّاكِرِينَ وَلَوْ اسْتَرَاحُوا قَلِيلًا فَإِنَّهُمْ سَيْتَعْبُونَ طَوِيلًا And those who are lazy, even if they have some entertainment initially, they shall suffer for a long time eventually. So, you know, we need to prioritize. جميل. وَمِنْهَا الْإِنْتِدَابُ لِرِيَاسَةِ مَنْ فِيهِ كَفَاءً وَأَنَّ الْكَفَاءَةُ تَرْجِعُ وَأَنَّ الْكَفَاءَةَ تَرْجِعُ إِلَى أَمْرَيْنِ إلى العلم الذي هو علم السياسة والتدبير وإلى القوة التي ينفذ بها الحق وأن من اجتمع فيه الأمران فهو أحق من غيره secondly, that those who should be in the state of leadership are those who are most qualified with the best credentials and the criteria here refers to two fundamental matters first, knowledge Particularly knowledge of politics, as in not politics as we know it today, meaning being able to pre-calculate what move should be made in order to protect the Muslims, right? So having some sort of foresight. And secondly, power. You should have the strength and the power, or in this case it may be authority, huh? To fulfill that and to carry out the truth. And then whoever possesses these two qualities is more deserving of leadership than someone else. If you have knowledge of the situation, you can better handle it. And you have the authority, you have respect among the people. When you say something, it is carried out, then you are more deserving of leadership than someone who doesn't have these two qualities. وَمِنْهَا الْإِسْتِدَالُ بِهَذِهِ الْقِصَّةِ مَا قَالَهُ الْعُلَمَاءُ أَنَّهُ يَنْبَغِي لِلْأَمِيرِ للجيوش أن يتفقدها عند فصولها فيمنع من لا يصلح القتال من رجال وخيل وركاب لضعفه أو ضعف صدره أو لتخذيله أو خوف الضرر بصحبته فإن هذا القسم ضرر محد هذا القسم ضرر محض على الناس Yes, some of the ulama say, they deduce from the story that it is upon the general of the army, the leader of the army that he investigates the situation or the condition of his soldiers that he should know who should continue and who should remain behind So he checks out the, you know, the soldiers who are, you know, on the horses and the camels, or those who are on their feet and otherwise. And then he sees who's weak among them, who has weak patience, or who may, you know, who may fall apart on the way and wind up turning his back. So then it is upon him to divide, see who is qualified for continuation and who should be left behind.
ومنها أنه ينبغي عند حضور البأس تقوية المجاهدين وتشجيعهم وحثهم على القوة الإيمانية والاتكال الكامل على الله والاعتماد عليه وسؤال الله التثبيت والإعانة على الصبر والنصر على الأعداء.
And that it is incumbent upon time, upon the battle, the time of the battle, that those who are engaged in struggling for the cause of Allah, that they should be encouraged and given a boost, a moral or a boost, or a mental boost, I guess, so that their iman will increase and they will have complete reliance and dependence upon Allah Azza wa Jal. And that they in turn should ask Allah to give them the, you know, to keep them firm and to keep them, to uphold to the truth, and you know, that they are given patience and victory over the enemies.
ومنها أن العزم على القتال والجهاد غير حقيقته. فقد يعزم الإنسان ولكن عند حضوره تنحل عزيمته.
Also is that the intent to fight is unlike the reality. Yani for example, and we don't, you know, boxing is not allowed in Islam because it entails punching people in the face. But usually a boxer, I mean, you see these funny boxers, right? Before the fight, you know, they get on TV, I'm gonna do this stuff, I'm gonna knock him out in the first 3 seconds, and you know, a few minutes before the fight, he's standing like this in the corner, man, I just wanna go home. You know, give me my chocolate milkshake. Forget about this, you know, whole fight. So what happens is people think, you know, I'm gonna do this, and even you, if you were a naughty little, you know, young man, and you thought you were gonna fight, you know, your friend next door, and you thought that when the time comes, you're gonna knock him out, but once you were in that situation, maybe you were not as brave anymore. Said, you know what, I think I should just go home, right? I don't want to fight with this guy. He's going to knock me out. So then, the fact that you have an intent doesn't mean that you will be able to remain steadfast at the time of the situation. Huh? You may change. And that's what happened to them. Because a human being may become weak once he reaches this particular position.
ولهذا من دعاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أسألك الثبات في الأمر والعزيمة على الرشد.
This is why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to ask Allah in his supplication, "Oh Allah, I ask you to give me to keep me firm in the matters which I choose, and that I have the determination upon that which is correct."
فهؤلاء الذين عزموا على القتال وأتوا بكلام يدل على العزم المصمم لما جاء الوقت نفس أكثرهم.
Those same people who said they wanted to fight in the cause of Allah, when the time came for them to carry it out, they all lost patience and they turned their backs.
ويشبه هذا قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأسألك الرضا بعد القضاء.
And this is equal, or this can be understood in the same light when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and I ask you to be satisfied after you have decreed a matter.
لأن الرضا بعد وقوع القضاء المكروه للنفوس هو الرضا الحقيقي.
Because being pleased after that which harms you takes place is the real pleasure and contentment. طيب, again, because you came later, we're speaking about the children of Israel and Goliath and David when they got engaged in a war. And Allah has been narrating to us the story that happened among the children of Israel. Of course, if you read the Bible, you'll find hundreds of references of major warfare in the Bible, wherein in Numbers, for example, I believe Numbers is chapter 32, verses 17 and onwards, it mentions that they were commanded to go out and kill everything and everyone, the animals, the asses, the oxes, and the women and the children. And the only thing which they were commanded to keep for themselves were the virgins who had never slept with a man before. And so the Jews kept for themselves 32,000 virgins. So if a Christian gets a little too philosophical, say, come here man, come. Read this for me and tell me what that means. If they get a little more philosophical and they give you more arguments, then you give them Luke chapter 14 and I don't remember the verses, maybe 28 to 29, where Jesus said, do not think that I came. I can give you the reference later, brother, just to make sure that it's accurate. He said, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I came to bring fire. And how I wish the earth was already kindled. But I have baptism to undergo. And I will remain stressed until such time. I have came to cause division. Until pride in the family will be divided. I will divide between the father and the son. And the mother and the daughter. And the father-in-law. Just straight up warfare. And another passage in Revelation, Jesus is described as coming on a horse with a sword, blood sprinkling, dripping from the tip of his sword, right? Fighting and war, causing war and destroying the nations with an iron rod. Jesus. Blood stains on his shirt. Jesus. Described like this where? In the Bible. So they say, you know, peace and all loving God and all this is called, this is all nonsense. Say, that's nice of you to say that, but are you basing this on Revelation? Are you basing it on the book which you claim is the book of God or from your own mind? If it's from your own mind, then I don't care what you think. If it's from your book of Revelation which you claim is from God, here it is. Explain these verses to me. Then once you are through, we can go and discuss what Islam has in terms of the teachings of Islam. And they will never be able to finish their problem to come to yours. And you don't have a problem, it's their problem twice. You see what I'm saying? But if you don't have knowledge of these things, you can silence anyone, anytime who likes to lie and fabricate. Because they tell you, no, Jesus loves you. He's the King of Peace, right? Prince of Peace, or some other titles which they give him. And he said, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. Actually it says, do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? I came to bring fire. And he wished that the earth was already kindled, meaning was already lit, was already burning. But you know, most Christians don't know that. And this is in the New Testament. Just in case they want to say, just in case they said, you know, Old Testament, say this is in the New Testament. So what are they going to do about that? It's in Luke, right? What are the books of the New Testament? There you go, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And of course, the letters that Paul, you know, wrote to these other, you know, crazy people that are as crazy as himself or even crazier. And then the Old Testament, of course, is everything that they claim was given to Musa, even though it is incorrect. Jamil, actually we are at verse 253. Shall we continue? What time is it? Oh, I have the time. 10:20. We'll do it, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Tayyib.
تلك الرسل فضلنا بعضهم على بعض منهم من كلم الله ورفع بعضهم درجات وآتينا عيسى ابن مريم البينات وأيدناه بروح القدس ولو شاء الله ما اقتتل الذين من بعدهم من بعد ما جاءتهم البينات ولكن اختلفوا فمنهم من آمن ومنهم من كفر ولو شاء الله ما اقتتلوا ولكن الله يفعل ما يريد.
I'm guessing you still don't have the English, so then it's upon me to do it again. Here you go. Those messengers, we preferred some to others. To some of them Allah spoke directly. Others He raised to degrees of honor. And to Isa, Jesus, the son of Mary or Maryam, we gave clear proofs and evidences and supported him with the Ruh al-Qudus with Gabriel. If Allah had willed, succeeding generations would not have fought against each other after clear verses of Allah had come to them. But they differed, some of them, Some of them believed and others disbelieved. If Allah had willed, they would not have fought against one another, but Allah does what He likes.
يخبر الباري أنه فاوت بين الرسل في الفضائل الجليلة والتقصيصات الجميلة.
The Creator explains to us that He had made a major distinction or a distinction between the messengers in terms of their virtue and in terms of, let's say, specifications. Specific qualities which He gave to some versus others. بِحَسَبِ مَا مَنَّ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَلَيْهِمْ. Depending on what Allah had bestowed of His favor upon each.
وقاموا به من الإيمان الكامل واليقين الراسخ والأخلاق العالية والآداب السامية والدعوة والتعليم والنفع العميم. And what Allah had bestowed upon them from favors such as belief, perfect belief, certainty that cannot be shaken, high moral qualities, and good character, invitation, propagation to the truth, teaching the people, and general benefit. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ اتَّخَذَهُ خَلِيلًا. Among them are those who Allah took as a close friend. Like who?
Ibrahim.
Who else? The two Khalil of Allah are Ibrahim and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who is better? Who is better? Why only one person answering? The brothers are mute? Huh? Brothers, who is better, Ibrahim or Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Are you sure? Does it mean that Ibrahim is no good?
No.
All of them are good. Some are better than others. This is what we mean when we say we Muslims don't make a distinction between them. Because some people misunderstand. And I've heard this before. Brother, if you don't make a distinction between them, then why are you saying that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is better than everyone else? We say, hold on. When we say we don't make a distinction for Allah's statement, لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِنْ رُسُلِهِ. We don't make any distinction between any of Allah's messengers. Meaning we don't believe in some and disbelieve in some. Not that we don't favor them in terms of who is better. Because we know the best five are known as Ulul Azim, those of strong determination and power, which are Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? So these are better than Dawood and Sulaiman and others, inevitably. So they are better, they are those of higher status in the sight of Allah than others. However, when we say we don't make a distinction, meaning we don't disbelieve in any or we don't belittle any of them. We respect them and respect all of them. You had raised your hand.
Yeah, I was trying to think it must have been, but what I wanted to ask is, none of them is bad, because according to my understanding, it's a game to portray different messages in different times. So none is bad.
No, they are right. No, it's incorrect. See,
okay.
What we're saying is, if we were to, who is better in the sight of Allah? Who carried out his job the best? Even though they came at different times, the qualities which Allah gave them were different. The one who had the best qualities, the most patience, the best character, the best approach is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Consequently, on the day of judgment, he will be the only one who will intercede for the judgment to begin. Because we have the authentic narrations that the human beings will go to Adam and will say, "You are our father. You are the father of the creation. Intercede for us with Allah so the judgment will begin." He will refuse. And he will say, "Go to Nuh." They will go to Nuh. He will refuse. He will send them to Ibrahim. Ibrahim will send them to Musa. Musa to Isa. Then he will send them to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who will say, "Ana laha, I am for it." And then he will intercede for the judgment to begin. So this is an honorable status which Allah gave him and didn't give anyone else. He made him the last messenger, the seal. He finalized all the previous teachings in the message of Islam. He made the followers of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ the best of followers. He said to his companions, "Khayrun nas qarni," the best of mankind is my generation. Meaning they were better than everyone else, better than the disciples of Jesus and better than the followers of Moses and so on and so forth. So what we say is he favored some over others. Yes, each played his role in the best way possible during his time. But if we were to put them all together, the best is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then his nation will be the largest. His followers are the most. The teachings of Islam are the most comprehensive.
But isn't it he continued where they left off, or where they could, you know, with a message that he fed up?
No, brother. What he continued is the ultimate universal message of Tawheed, which no messenger opposed. The oneness of Allah. This is something that he continued inevitably. But the teachings of Islam today are unlike the previous teachings and rules and regulations. The bottom line is,
part of the belief system which you should have and must have is that the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the best messenger. He's the best of Allah's creation, period. He's the best of Allah's creation. This is based on the Quran and the Sunnah. Now if someone had told you otherwise based on their own personal opinions, then tell them, give me the proof. Give me the proof. But they don't have a proof. The proof is, he said, alayhi salam, أَنَا سَيِّدُ وَلَدْ آدَمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا فَقَرْ. He said, I am the master of all the children of Adam on the Day of Judgment, and I am not boasting. He said that. I'm not boasting in it, I'm trying to show you. But this is what Allah gave him. Allah made him that status, that he has four shafa'ah particular to him. Four intercessors on the Day of Judgment that no one shares with the Messenger of Allah. The shafa'ah al-kubra, the major shafa'ah for the people to, for the judgment to begin. The shafa'ah of the gates of Jannah to open. The gates of Jannah, paradise, will not open until the Prophet ﷺ opens them. Without him, it will not be open. The shafa'ah of those among the Muslims who were in Jannah, and they will be given a higher status in Jannah because of him. And the shafa'ah of those who will be going to the hellfire, and he will intercede for them, so Allah will put them in paradise among the believers. These are things that no one shares with him. These are specific for him. Barakallahu fiik. Aywa. Na'am. فمنهم, so Allah taken as a friend then to Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ومنهم من كلمه تكليما. Among them are those whom he spoke to directly, like Musa. What do we call him? Kalimullah. Just be familiar with the words. Khalilullah Ibrahim, Allah's best friend. Khalil.
Khalil.
Yeah, like K-H-A-L-E-E-L.
Like small Khalil?
No. Khalil means khilla is the ultimate sense of friendship. يعني تخلل الشيء, meaning it went through it. When the love is so deep that it goes through your whole body, it mixes with you. So you say تخللهو, it went through it. It's like emerging in something, or being immersed in something. You see what I'm saying? That's what the word linguistically means. Consequently, Khalil is your best friend, and the one that the love that you have for him and he has for you is so profound that it's like it's beyond the average kind of love. Right. Jameel. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ رَفَعَهُ فَوْقَ الْخَلَائِقِ دَرَجَاتِ. And among them are those who Allah has raised over the rest of the creation in degrees, like Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. وَجَمِيعُهُمْ لَا سَبِيلَ لِأَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْبَشَرِ إِلَى الْوُصُولِ إِلَى فَضْلِهِمِ الشَّامِلِ. All of them, it is impossible for any regular person among the children of Adam to be able to arrive at their status. No one can make it to their level. These are the prophets and the messengers of Allah. وَقَصَّ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ أَنَّهُ أَتَاهُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ الدَّالَّ عَلَى أَنَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ حَقًّا وَعَبْدُهُ صِدْقًا وَأَنَّ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ كُلُّهُ حَقٌّ. And he specifically chose Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus the son of Mary, by giving him clear proofs that he is the messenger of Allah in truth, and he is the slave of Allah in truth, and that what he has brought is from Allah, and all of it is true. Now who can give me an evidence? This is for da'wah, and we should test your da'wah skills. Who can give me an evidence that from the Quran that Jesus the son of Mary was indeed the messenger of Allah and his slave?
When Mary told to ask Jesus, and Jesus said that I'm a messenger of Allah.
Good. I hope you try to memorize this in Arabic. When Maryam brought Isa to her people and they told her, لَقَدْ جِئْتِ شَيْئًا فَرِيًّا, you have brought something, you know, outrageous. The first thing that Jesus did was defend his mother. And the first thing he did, he spoke in the cradle. And he said, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ أَتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. I am the slave of Allah. He gave me the book and made me a prophet. And so these are the two. Excuse me. He made him a prophet. When mentioned earlier right now, he is the servant of Allah. The first word he ever said, "Inni Abdullah," and today they say he was Ibnullah. Hasha lillah. The first thing he ever said, "I am the slave of Allah," and today they say he is the son of Allah. Son of Allah. كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا. It's a great, great word that comes out of their mouths, and they say nothing but lies to say that Allah has taken a son. Now, ما كان الله أن يتخذ من ولد سبحانه. It is not befitting that Allah will beget a son. Glory be to Him. And the verses are too many. Anyways, I will conclude at this very moment. I wish for you to do some research on the da'wah to Christians. How to give da'wah to Christians. How do we integrate the verses in the Quran with some of the biblical verses, if possible, to convey to them the truth about Jesus being a messenger of Allah and not the son of Allah. Because you can prove this Quranically and biblically and historically and logically. I mean, you can prove it on all levels. So if you can, inshallah, for next week we'll have a small discussion at the end or in the beginning of our desk to see what the brothers can provide as evidence to support that Jesus was the messenger of Allah, period, and he was not his son or not equal to him as they claim. And then that will be our task for next week. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.